Heavenly Father,
speak to my heart.
Give me revelation and understanding
that I would never be the same.
That you would be glorified.
I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, Holy Spirit, let the river of your presence flow tonight. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. 40 nights, wow. We came to North London for 10 nights of meetings. And here we are, 40 nights later. Who would have realized? Many had hoped. And you know, if my wife would be my right arm in my ministry, then I would have to say that Dan and Donna would be my left arm. We went to their little church for 1 week of meetings, and we're there 27 weeks. Saw 15,000 people troop through the place and get just majestically touched. We then took them to Michigan, to another part of the United States, and had a phenomenal week there. And twice now they have traveled all the way from the US to come here to the UK simply because in their heart they sensed, they felt, they just knew that God was going to do something here in this part of England. And tomorrow they leave. And so I'm just going to ask Dan and Donna if you come up and, well, say goodbye while I go and blow my nose.
I'll see y'all later, okay? Praise God. We have you have stolen our hearts. We are not the same. I have got to come, my wife and I, and not only share in what wonderful things are happening here, but see some history about our country. I hope that those of you who visit with me realize that not all Americans are crabby and snotty, and but I'll tell you what, there ain't many of them like me. And our country would say, praise God for that. But we thank you for your hospitality and your kindness. I do believe that God will revisit. I do believe that He has not forgot about England. I do believe that too many wonderful ministers of the gospel have rose up from this country, and it has been by John Wesley alone, him and his brother Charles. What they brought to America has started a wildfire in our country, and if that wouldn't have happened, I don't know if we'd have seen Pentecostal movement. The United Methodist Church would never have grown, and now that the Assemblies of God and the Church of God would never have grown just because God raised up a man in your country and he came to our country. And I do not believe God's going to forget that. I think the percentage of Christians in your country is going to drastically change. And I think if I can say that, I'm going to step on a limb and say that prophetically, the number of Christians in your country is going to change. I'm going to be that bold. But you have been gracious and kind to us. We appreciate all that you have done for us, and I hope that we have been some aspects have helped light the fire. I don't want to go home. I don't want to leave my friends. But for some reason, Craig and I were separated at birth. I came along a little bit earlier, but still, we were separated at birth. I know it. I know he looks so much older than me, doesn't he? Oh gosh! But we have a saying in our country: "You've been rode hard and put away wet." That's him, you know. But we appreciate so much. And I would like to ask you to continue to lift up Jenny. She has quite a job on her hands, living with Craig. But stay encouraged. Listen, you can do this. You can do this. You just have a heart cry for God. And if We'll just cover, and spiritually we're going to cover Craig's ears for just a moment. I think you should twist his arm and have him revisit the message he preaches on intimacy. Intimacy with God is one of the things that we finally figured out, and he came and shared a message about it that turned our hearts on fire for God. That intimate walk with Jesus Christ, with God, who wants to come down and have a party with you and dance with you and show you things that you've never seen before. Some of you are sitting on wonderful things that's already happened. You need to share that with everyone. You need to let them know what's been happening in your life. But I think you ought to twist his arm, you know. What more can he do to me? I'm going home in the morning, so he can't hurt me. But I think it would be great to hear that again if you've heard it. And if you've never heard it, it would be great to hear it for the first time. That intimate walk with God, it would make a world of difference for you. So again, thank you. This is my lovely wife. You know, when I first come, I told a joke and it was wrong. But now it's okay. Yes. This really is my wife. Yes. This is not just a woman I come to England with. She is my wife. She owns me. She has papers to prove it. Right. You know, I have papers. I am registered. You know, and I'm a good little puppy. So, and I do want to say to all you ladies, in our country we have a saying, you guys are just as cute as a speckled pup. That's what you are, and that's a good thing. In our country, that is a good compliment. So you're just as cute as speckled pups, you know. So we appreciate so much. So please pray for us. Pray for Dan and Donna. We have a mission house in the home we live in that we try to help drug addicts and alcoholics and the mama every once in a while that finally gets put a heart of that old man and hits him in the head with a frying pan. So she comes and stays with us for a few days. And sometime next month, we're going to be putting up with two really rambunctious people. So about the 18th or so, maybe if the things work out, that we're going to be putting up with two crazy people from New Zealand. So please be in prayer for us. And always just turns our household upside down every time they come. Praise God. So be in prayer for us. Remember our mission home that we reach people. So many people are suffering from that terrible drugs and things. And I pastor a little church that there's one cute little fella in our church. He's about 90. And he goes, "I heard what happened at that church you pastored." I thought he heard about how they threw me out. But he didn't mention that. But he said, "How they had that big revival, and we want that here." And so they're trying. So you pray for us. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you, preacher. And we'll see what God does through all that, okay? And I want Donna to say, "See you later."
Oh. Well, tomorrow we go home, but you're in our hearts. You have truly taken my heart. I love you all. You have been so wonderful to us. But the one thing I want to leave with you is something that Craig always says. You can't get wet unless you step in. Step in God's river. And keep on believing, because you can't give up. You can't give up for God to come, because whether he comes now, this very moment, or in a month, or 6 months, or 10 years down the road, he's going to come. So don't give up. You will be in his presence if you stay in a relationship with him. You will see him face to face, either here or there. Don't give up. Keep believing for all the things that are in your heart. God has done so many things for Dan and I. And the only way we could get through some of the bad times was keep believing. Keep believing. Never give up. So I leave you with, step into the water. Don't fear when you step into the water, because God is going to take care of it. He's got everything under control. We are just here, and we just live here for a season. And God takes care of us if we just allow Him to. So step into the water. Do not be afraid. And when you get fearful, just think of me and pray for me. Dan? Yes, I do. I do. I need prayer every day. And if you just can't go on any farther, I know that you can find a friend right here that will latch on to you and to pray for you. And if not, I'll be across over there somewhere praying for each one of you. God bless you.
Thank you. I want you to just stand and extend your hands towards them. We'll just pray them off. Just extend your hands towards them.
You know, before you pray, I do need to tell them that it's a blessing I'm alive right now. Because he said at lunch today, he said, "Well, big boy, you're eating your last good meal." And I was really worried. He said, "Before you go home." I thought it was my last supper, and this was the end of my life.
Let's extend our hands towards him. Father, we thank you for sending Dan and Donna into our midst. For they have brought blessing, they've brought an anointing, they've brought your presence amongst us. And we ask for the blessings of God, which are rich and bring no sorrow, to be upon them, their household, their children, their ministry, their church, their town. Lord, we ask for increase to be released upon them. We ask, Lord, that you'd get them home to the United States safely. And we look forward to the time when they come back amongst us and bring your word and your presence in a fresh and a new way once again. Bless them, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. If you have a Bible, would you open it to Luke chapter 1? Tonight I want to talk about the conflict between facts and truth. I have a newspaper clipping out of your newspaper, the Daily Mail, on Friday. It's an interesting story because, well, it talks about a man called Mr. Shaler. He was an MI5. Is that your secret agency? Can't be that secret. It's mentioned in the paper. And it's about an MI5 agent who was a whistleblower, a former spy, whose powers as an agent of the state were revoked. He now claims to have more powers than anyone on earth could possibly imagine. He said, after a period of reflection following his jailing for breaching the Official Secrets Act, Mr. Shaler has concluded that he is the Messiah. He said, last night, proclaiming himself God, he explained, "What I say to people is, do I look mentally ill?" Well, yes. He says, "Do I sound mentally ill?" He said, "The reason I'm putting out this message is because I am absolutely convinced as I can be of anything in this world, that the universe is changing shape, and humanity has to prepare for that, and that I am here to help the people." Last night, in an interview with More 4 News, Mr. Shaler made the astonishing claim that he had seen a psychic who he believes channels the spirit of Mary Magdalene, and that she anointed him as the Messiah. All gets better. No, it gets better. It really does. Now, he says also that he realized that his name, or a part of his name, meant that he was, well, the king of the universe. He said this 41-year-old man claimed that there is an anagram of his name, David Shaler, righteous king, on the rod of Aaron, a staff which was carried by Moses' brother in the Old Testament. He said he looked at this, or something about it, I guess, from the internet, and saw that the Hebrew word for king was Shav, And then he suddenly realized, my goodness, the first few letters of my name is S-H-A-V. So therefore, I must be the new king of the universe. He said that his newfound divinity gave him the ability to change the weather. Oh man, I want to know his phone number. And that his meditation had stopped the summer's attempted bombings in London. And he found time to channel the light into securing his beloved Middlesbrough football team into a place in the 2006 UEFA Cup final against Seville. Unfortunately, his powers were not quite strong enough to ensure that they won. It also says here in the same story that in 1991, a well-known soccer player, from what I can gather, by the name of David Icke, announced on the Terry Wogan chat show that he was the Son of God, and that Britain would soon be devastated by tidal waves and earthquakes. The one-time grandstand host, is that a program that you must have here? Okay, well, the one-time grandstand host believes that the world is ruled by a secret group of 12-foot shape-shifting reptiles called the Global Elite, or the Illuminati. And they have anointed him as the Son of God. So we have these two men both deciding that one's the Son of God and the other one is the Messiah. And I'm here to stand before you tonight to say they've got it wrong. Amen. For the one who is the Son of God and who is the Messiah, his name is Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about some weirdo ex-spy belonging to MI5 or some has-been soccer player and program announcer. I am not talking about some statue on a hill sitting in a stupid position. We're not bowing down to some little mahogany man with a silly grin on his face. We're gathered in this room this night not to worship some relic of religion for bygone years. We're here to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus Christ. We are not crying out to Confucius. We are not salivating over Socrates. We're not meditating over Mohammed. We're not bowing down to Buddha. We're not trusting in tarot cards, and we're not counting our lucky stars. Today we are worshiping the Creator of the universe. He is the great I Am. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We worship the one who measures the planets of the universe by the span of his hand, that he weighs the mountains and counts the grains of sand of the seashore. He is the one who appoints the sun to shine by day and the moon and the stars to shine by night. He is the one who stirs up the seas so that the waves will roar, and he knows your name. He counts the hair on your head. He knows your very thought, and he loves you. He died for you, and he rose again for you. And his name is not David Icke or Richard Shaler. His name is Jesus Christ. I want you to come now to Luke chapter 1. And in verse 26, we read the incredible story of who the Messiah really is and how he came. It says in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1 that in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are mightily, highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who has said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." What a great statement. What a great claim. The facts are, Mary was single. The facts were that she was betrothed, she was a virgin, she was a peasant girl of no noble lineage. The truth was, God had a plan. How can this be? She asks. And the angel simply replies, for nothing is impossible with God. What an awesome response. Nothing. Nothing is impossible for God. You know, there can be a conflict in life between facts and the truths. And there can come a time in our lives when the facts and the truth are at odds with each other. When the facts of the situation contradict the truths. And when this happens, when everything looks bad, when everything is stacked against you, when everything is failing, when all evidence and the experts tell you that the situation is not good, then you are a candidate for a miracle from God, because God just delights to contradict the experts. He specializes in doing the impossible. The facts may be that there is no natural answer to your situation or your problem, but the truth is that God is a miracle-working God. The facts are that you may be sick, but the truth is that one of His names is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. The facts are that you have a problem, a long-time problem, and nothing has worked up to this point. But the truth is that by Jesus' stripes, by His stripes, we are healed. In Genesis chapter 12, right at the beginning of the Bible, In the first four verses, God promises a man, Abram, that he will be the father of a great nation. And God says to him, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Your name will be great. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. The thing was, Abram was 75 years old. About as old as Dan. Now in chapter 15, God takes Abram outside and says, look up at the heavens, count the stars, so shall your offspring be. And then in chapter 17 of Genesis, when Abram was now 99, almost 25 years later, God says to him that he will confirm his covenant and will greatly increase his numbers, and that Sarai will bear him a son, and he is to be called Isaac. And then the next chapter over, in chapter 18, you can read of the Lord appearing to Abram, who is now called Abraham. And he is told that at that time, in the next year, his wife will have a son. When you read this story in Genesis chapter 12 and the ongoing chapters, you'll read that Sarai, or now called Sarah, is listening in. And she laughs to herself. She says, I am worn out. I'm old. My husband is old. How will I now have this pleasure? The facts were that they were old. They were crinkled. They probably had no teeth and they were all gummy. You know, they had more wrinkles than my pajamas in the morning when I wake up and get out of bed. But the truth was that nothing is impossible for God. The facts were that this couple were old. But the truth was that God said something was going to happen. And when God says something, when He promises something, God comes through. The facts are, you may have an issue in your life, but the truth is, God can take care of it. The facts are, the devil may have you in bondage, and you have prayed your brains out in private, but you cannot beat the situation, the habit, or the issue. But the truth is, greater is He, Jesus Christ, that's in us, than he, Satan, the evil one, who is in the world. Jesus can deliver you. He can set you free. The facts are that there is a way that can seem right unto man, and it can seem good at the time for the things that you might be doing. But the truth is that the end thereof will lead to death. There is always a price to pay for our sin. There's always a price to pay for the things that we get involved in. You see, the facts and the truth are not always the same. The facts may be that you are sick, that you do hurt, that there are symptoms, that it's very real what's going on in your life. The doctors have confirmed it, and you might be living by this condition. The fact is that there is little that you may be able to actually do it about it yourself. But the truth is, nothing is impossible for God. I'm here tonight declaring a truth unto you. Jesus can heal you. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God who heals. He would have you to prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. He is a miracle-working God. And it's upon His heart to heal you, to change your circumstances, to set you free, to save you, to cleanse you, to forgive you. There is nothing that you have ever done. There's no decision that you have ever made. And there's nothing that's ever happened to you that'll stop Him loving you any less. The fact is that people may say to you that you are useless, washed out, and no good. But the truth is that you are a son and daughter of the Most High God. That you are the apple of His eye. That you are His little boy. That you are His little girl. That He loves you. The fact is that the world may say that there is no future for you. But the truth is this, that He looks through the windows of heaven. He whispers your name. That He has a plan for you. That every day of your life has been worked out by Him. I stand before you this night, a man who has been sick unto death. For 10 years, I battled a dreadful disease that literally caused me to lose my entire digestive system, all capacity to produce gastric acid. I could not eat. I could not eat normal food. I could not enjoy normal life. I could not eat what you would take for granted. Constantly I was in pain. Often I spent many, many, many months in hospital, slowly wasting away. The fact was, the doctor said there was no hope. The truth was, God had a plan in mind. When you get to that point of absolute desperation for your miracles, and you submit with absolute resignation under Jesus, as you bow before He who died for you, as you surrender to He who rose again for you, so you begin to receive the miracle of God. When there is a desperation, let me say that again to you, when there is a desperation for a miracle, when there is resignation unto God, then you'll get confirmation of your miracle. Resignation unto God means you stop deciding how God's going to do His job. When you are so desperate for God to move in your circumstances and you surrender unto God in worship of heart, when you stop telling God how to do it, when to do it, and you just surrender, then God can move in your circumstances. I want you to consider another woman. Her name was Hannah in the Bible in 1 Samuel. Hannah in the Bible discovered what it took for God to move miraculously in her circumstances. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, you will read her story. She is desperate for a miracle. She needs her womb to be healed. The facts were, this woman was old, a bit like Sarah. The fact was that her womb was closed. The fact was there was no hope for her. But the truth was God was just waiting for her to be at a certain place that He could move in her circumstances. You will read in 1 Samuel in the first couple of chapters that Hannah cries out, she prays, she fasts. The Bible describes her as bitter of heart and soul. She is desperate. She is persistent. She is so desperate, the Bible describes, that her lips are moving but nothing's coming out. Elkanah, her husband, probably thought that was awesome. The fact was, the priest even thought that the woman was drunk. She was in such a state of mind. The Bible tells us that Hannah vows before God. She makes promises before God, and still nothing happens. But it wasn't until the Bible describes that she bowed before God and worshiped, God moved. She surrendered. There was a resignation. And when the resignation came, then there was confirmation. As she began to worship God, now get this, when she began to worship God in the midst of her situation, then God began to move in her circumstances. In verse 19 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, it says that they rose early in the morning and they worshipped before the Lord. And in the midst of their worship, God hears her. And they go home, they lie together, and a miracle happens, and Hannah becomes pregnant. The facts were, there was probably no way this woman was going to give birth. But the truth was, God was just waiting for her to surrender her situation. Perhaps you have cried out to God for something. A healing, a miracle of God in relationships in your family, a change in your circumstances, financially or at work, or perhaps in your church situation. You need a change and you've cried out to God. Perhaps you have fasted and prayed, even vowed and made promises unto God. Perhaps you are so low of spirit, so depressed of soul, that you are in that place that your lips might move, but nothing comes out but a cry unto God and tears. Perhaps you're at a place where every time you even think about your situation, try to describe it, that you find yourself just beginning to break down, to weep, to sob, and to cry. I tell you, now is the time to bow down to worship God in your desperation. Reach out and believe your miracle. For the truth is this, that nothing is impossible for God. That He is not so busy in Afghanistan or Iraq that He is not aware of your pain, your situation, your country circumstances here in this part of London. In the midst of my illness, in my lowest point of desperation, I resigned myself unto God. I stopped telling God how to do the job. I decided that I would just be obedient. I made a conscious decision that I would worship God and live in the midst of my situation as best I could. I got involved in launching an evangelism tool that was going to go around the world using the millennium to point people to Jesus Christ. And as I worshiped Him, as I resigned and surrendered unto Him, as I believed for the impossible, in the midst of my circumstances, as I stood before God, and the facts were this, that there was no hope for me. The facts were that they'd given me just a couple of years to live. The facts was that I had wasted away to less than 40 kilograms. The fact was that I was a walking skeleton. The fact was that I was not producing gastric juice, had no stomach, could not eat, and there was little hope. But the truth was, God had a plan. And in the midst of my circumstances, on the 4th of May, 1999, as I stood there, I guess a little bit like Hannah, and in the midst of my circumstances, surrendered unto God, He sovereignly, majestically, supernaturally, against the facts, did the truth and healed me. It will be no different for you. The facts are your situation right now is real and actually serious for some of you. The truth is, Jesus is just waiting to heal you, to touch you, to be sovereign in your life. In one moment, you're going to get an opportunity. In just a short moment, you're going to get a chance to come and stand in the river. I believe that there are just moments in time when God decides to move against the facts and bring the truth. The facts may say one thing, but the truth is, nothing is impossible for God. The facts say that you might have to take medication for the rest of your life. The truth is, God just waits for a special moment, a kairos moment, they call it in the Greek. Just a special, designated moment of time when God says, now. And He does the supernatural and the miraculous. For nothing is impossible for you. There's some of you that have asthma, high blood pressure, constant acid reflux, shocking headaches, pain in your joints and limbs. And the facts are that you have lived with this for a long, long time. But the truth is, God's just been waiting for a night like tonight, that He would move sovereignly, supernaturally, and miraculously in your circumstances. The facts are that there are people wandering around your planet, sad, deluded souls, who think they are the Messiah, who think they are the Son of God, who think that the first four letters of their name means that they are God, because it spells a Hebrew word that means the King. The truth is, these men are deluded. The truth is, there is one. His name is Jesus. He came, He walked on this planet. He healed, He set many free. He was wickedly whipped and tortured, nailed to a cross, died for you, and 3 days later rose again for you. That He appeared before hundreds of people. That He met men on a beach and cooked a meal for them. That historically it is recorded that this man walked this planet, did these things, and was seen after His death. Not one, not two, but over 500 people saw this man. That historians have recorded about this man. The fact is that He rose again, and the truth is, He's coming back again. Hallelujah. The facts are that whatever your circumstances are, the truth is this, nothing is impossible for God. There's just a moment in our journey of life when God suddenly decides, all right, now I'll bring healing. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that nothing is impossible for him. I know what it is to walk where the facts are mounted against me. I know what it is to have experts, people who have learned and studied and understand certain things and have them declare a certain situation. But I now know the truth. For God replaced everything that they surgically removed. He's done a supernatural miracle. And he said, now freely you've received, freely you are to give. Pray for the sick and just see that I will confirm with signs, wonders, and miracles. Even in the 40 days that we have been meeting, we have seen and heard, and we have a sheaf of testimonies of God bringing forth truth that contradicts the facts, of God bringing healing. In fact, the other night we had a couple of women who just inexplicably had gold dust beginning to appear on their hands. The facts are, that's kind of weird and almost impossible. The truth was that God just decided to reveal his majesty. I look at a man like Darius, who came into this place in the first few nights, breathing oxygen, unintelligibly able to communicate. He was sad. And I now see a man that at times is walking up here and standing in the midst of the river of his presence as healing is being unlocked in the man's life. Nothing is impossible for God. And the problem is that too often we get caught up in the facts. We get caught up in what is declared over us. We get caught up into our circumstances and we lose sight of the truth. The truth is that he is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He is the God who supplies. He is the great I am. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Lily of the Valley. He is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He is Jesus Christ, the Risen One. And tonight, he wants to touch your life. I ask if you will, right now, stand in his presence. I'm going to pray. Let me tell you what's going to begin to happen. Some of you are walking in the midst of desperate circumstances and situation. The fact is that the doctors have declared things about you, and for all intents and purposes, that is true. What they're declaring is what they know and what they see and what they have diagnosed. The prognosis may not be good, but the truth is tonight God can set you free. Some of you have situations that you've walked in and day out and year in and year out. And the fact is that you don't know any difference. In fact, it now defines who you are. The truth is, tonight it's going to be like an old worn overcoat that needs to be taken off. Tonight, he can do that. What's going to happen in a moment is I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite the river of God to flow in this place for the Holy Spirit to reveal the majesty and the glory of God. And every night, for 39 nights that we have come and met in this building, God has moved. Just right now, raise your hand those who have just had an awesome experience of God over the last 39 days, and in some way God has touched you, ministered to you, you've sensed and known the awesome presence of God. Many hands have gone up. It will be no different tonight. This is the truth. You just need to get off the bank and get in the river. The saying that we've just coined in the time we've been coming together is this, that the longer you soak, the wetter you get. You've just got to get into the river of his presence. You cannot not get wet by jumping into the river of his presence. It's the heartbeat of God to just lavish his love. Oh, I love that word, lavish. He just wants to lavish his love upon you. He just wants to ravish your heart. You've just got to get off the bank and get into the river. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a God who just loves to contradict the facts. Lord, I thank you for that awesome promise of Archangel Gabriel that said nothing is impossible for God. And tonight, Lord, we are just believing that we would have an encounter with you. Lord, we're just asking that the river of your presence would flow in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, come, we ask. That you would just let your river of your presence flow. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let healing flow. Let peace flow. Lord, that tonight people would go from this place and never, ever be the same. That tonight you would contradict the facts and bring the truth. That tonight, oh God, that you would do it again. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Let faith arise. Nothing is impossible for you, oh God. Reveal your majesty. Reveal your glory. Confound the skeptics. Disprove the lunatics. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Flow in this place. Oh Lord, for your name is Jesus. Not Robert Shaler or Mr. Ikes. Your name is Jehovah. Is Jesus. Jehovah. Oh, Yeshua. The King. The Lord. The great I am. And we invite you, we ask you, Lord, come. Come amongst us this night. Come and move in your power and your majesty and your glory. Oh Lord, that we would never be the same. I ask this in Jesus' name. Ooh, come Lord, come. Tonight, you simply have to make a choice. Get off the bank, come into the river of his presence, and get ready for God to bring the truth and to contradict the facts. If he can make 99-year-old women get pregnant, if he can make virgin peasant girls get pregnant, if he can replace surgically removed organs, a little old Kiwi, he can tonight break through in your circumstances. We invite you. It's very simple. All you need to do is step out and come into the river of his presence. Come. He's calling you. He's calling your name. Come. Come into the river of his presence. Come and be ready to receive the truth. He is the great healer, the lover of your soul, the king of the universe. Come. Come into the river of his presence. Come and soak in his love. Come and open yourself up and just stand before him and say, oh God, here I am. I know what the facts are. I know what's being said, but tonight, let your truth be revealed. Yes, Lord, come. Come, come, Lord. Now just come into the river. We'll begin to move amongst you. We'll begin to pray with you. If you want a fresh encounter with the lover of your soul.